Okay. This is good. This will give us a chance to do a quick recap. All right. Okay. Now we started with brother. What's your name?
Dylan.
Welcome, Dylan. Dylan, where are you from?
I'm from Madapen.
Okay. How many children in your home?
18.
Okay. Again. Nice. Welcome. So all the homes are relatively the same size, and we just made a mention of a couple things. One of those is that you as an individual, we as individuals, have limitation. And God made us with limitation for a reason. See, when we leave this life and we go on to the next one, we go into a limitless reality. There's no limits in eternity. But there's a reason why we need to experience limitation in this time. Because it also allows us to set priorities, set things that are important and things that are not. Okay. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now we can go into this passage from, there's so much in there, but one thing about this is Jesus is talking about priorities. Now what is important and what is not? What you should focus on and what you should not. So now in the process of seeking first the kingdom of God, God is doing something with His people. See, what happens when you start seeking first the kingdom of God? What happens to you? So you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're spending time praying, you're asking God for direction, you're asking Him to explain things to you, to lead you. What happens? He starts talking to you. Yes. Amen. How many have you been? Does God starts talking to you? So He starts talking to you, right? So God starts talking to you when you start seeking first, when you align your life with the kingdom of God. And alignment happens spiritually, it happens mentally, and it happens physically. You align your as your spirit becomes aligned with Him, as your mind becomes aligned with Him, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. As your flesh becomes aligned with Him, where it says, your Romans 12. Yeah. Submit your body's living sacrifice. This is your reasonable act of worship. It's like a key unlocking, and when you come into that place, all of a sudden, now God is speaking to you. Okay, what is He saying? What does He start talking to you about?
What I
He starts guiding you and leading you in the proper track.
This is...
Okay. Now, very, very true. This is what God starts doing. He starts... It's not just... Salvation is a process that all of us go through. You start on the way with Him, but then He's leading and guiding you along that way. Okay. Now, Jesus is our example. Now, Jesus is our example of a perfectly lived life. You know, when we look at Jesus, we look at see, God could have sent Jesus into the world in so many different ways. He could have sent Him in the world as born into a rich home where everything was taken care of. He could have had Him born into into a very powerful family of general. But God in His design decided that He would be born in the situation, the humble beginnings that He started with. Now, did Jesus' upbringing, did Jesus' background stop Him from fulfilling the vision that God had for His life? No. Okay. So we have to first deal with some of the myths that people sometimes have about God's plan and purpose and what keeps them from doing it. You know, sometimes people they think, okay, I can't do what God wants me to do because I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't have this level of training or teaching or something. And so people get very, they start almost making excuses for why they can't do what God is putting in their heart to do. Do you remember Gideon?
Gideon.
You remember? What was when God came to Gideon and spoke to Gideon and said, Gideon, this is what I have for you to do. What did Gideon say? So Gideon's first thing was to look at his limitation, to look at what he could not do based on his surroundings. So, but what did God have to do to Gideon?
You start going away, I will be with you.
Okay, so God had to work with Gideon where he was at. Now, here's one thing. Do you think God doesn't know your situation when He gives the vision to you? He knows. Okay. All-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful God knows and understands exactly your situation when He gave you the vision that God has given you. But I'm going to make a few small points as we go. Alright. Your vision, though, is not limited by your natural situation, your natural surroundings. Okay. Alright. you go. So your vision is not limited by your natural situation, your natural surroundings. So in fact, for Gideon, God proved to him that it was indeed him speaking to him. And then, when all of these soldiers and all of these people came, God said, look, I don't need all of these. And he kept cutting it down to the people that understood what the time was. See, here's something that you always have to remember, very important. The vision that God gives you is not contingent on your natural ability to fulfill it. What's necessary is for you to stay in alignment with the Spirit of God, allow Him to lead and instruct you, do what He says to do, but He makes it happen through you. There's a very, very strong difference between the two. See, the way the world works is the world will put together all of its resources, all of its thinking, all of its power, and force its way to go do something. But God will take the least and the downtrodden and those that nobody thinks can do anything, and He will establish them and put their feet under them and use them to do things that were never ever thought possible. So that is His way. So, you know, think about it. The first, you know, two people that wrote probably more of the Bible than any others were both murderers. Moses and Paul were both murderers. You know, I mean, in our society, would a murderer ever get a chance to do anything of any merit? Would people ever give them that chance? If somebody knows that somebody was a murderer and they understand that this person has that background, will they entrust them with a noble or a great task? No. But what does God do? He takes a person, and when their lives are aligned with Him, He literally makes them a new creation. And when He makes them a new creation, He also gives them a new direction, a new destiny, a new vision, a new purpose. And that purpose is not dependent, again, on their natural ability. Because think about too, when God gave the vision to Moses, how old was Moses? You know, that was one of his issues too. He said he had difficulty speaking. This was his own thought. But how old was he? How old was Moses?
Old.
How old? Age. Last year. No, not 40.
No,
80. 40 was when he tried to do something in his own strength. 80 was when he aligned with what God was telling him to do. And there's a point in there, is that when he tried to do it in his own strength, what did he do? He ended up killing somebody and trying to make it happen. But at 80 years old, an 80-year-old murderer that can't talk, this is when God takes somebody and makes something out of his life. So that should be an encouragement for anybody that thinks that the vision maybe has passed them by, or they haven't seen something right, or they've missed something. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is not finished with you. Okay. So the first place for any of us is your life has to become aligned with the Spirit of God. Now when your life comes into that alignment, now you're in a place to receive something from Him, a divine vision, not your own vision. You know when you're a child, what do people do when they come up to you? What do they ask you? They come up to you and say, hello, how are you? And they say, so what do you want to do when you grow up? Right? After they squeeze your cheeks, they say, what do you want to do when you grow up? Because why? Because the world is constantly looking, the world tries to get people to set their own vision and their own direction, their own destiny. But God does something different with people. Keep changing the air every now and then. Okay, one thing that He does is when He begins to speak, He gives you a new vision for life. It's God given. Now, this is very important, because the vision that God has for you, the destiny God has for you, is probably different than what it is you think that God should be doing with you. Because, you see, we have certain plans and certain ideas for what we think we should be doing. Yeah, I had, when I was in my late teens, I had a very, very particular idea of, here's what I thought my life would be. But I was also following God. And God had a very interesting way of redirecting my life. And He, for me, literally said, no, I have a different way for you. You need to go this way. And in that process, you know, I look back now and I see, I'm so glad, because that was the right way to go. Okay, what was Jesus' vision? What was Jesus looking forward to? While He was here on earth,
He was trying to save sinners.
So Jesus was
His vision was to save us.
Okay. And there's a little bit more to that, but that's on the right track. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame. Right? One second. Hey, welcome back. Hey, I'm just in the middle of teaching a training seminar. Can I call you back in a bit? Okay, all right, perfect. All right, see, bye. Okay. So, for the joy set before him, so Jesus was looking forward to something. But that wasn't just our salvation. That was us being united to him for all eternity. The bride, the bridegroom, that whole that the marriage, all of that, of the marriage feast, all of that spending all of eternity with us, that was Jesus' vision. That was what he was looking forward to. So he didn't just save us to save us. He saved us so we could be with him. And that was his vision, what he was looking forward to. And that is what he had to get past the cross to get to. Okay, so let's start with something very here. All right. So you are right here. Now, as we said at the start, we're in a certain spot. You're in a certain place. Right now, every single one of us, this day, this moment, right here. And you have all of the experiences, everything you've ever had, everything you've ever done, but you're in this moment, in this place, right now. So, now, there can be wars going on in Africa, there can be economies crashing, all of those things, all of that, whatever's going on anywhere else, this is where you are right now, this moment. Now, where's the kingdom of God? A plus. Luke 17:20-21, the kingdom of God is within you. So now, because the kingdom of God is within you, here's something about the vision of God that God will give you. It is not something that is going to come from outside. It is something that will come from within. Very important. Because right now, in the world is spinning out of control. So wars, rumors of wars, floods, famines, economic collapses, all those things are happening outside. That's all going on outside. And if you allow the outside to affect what's within, it will move the direction of the vision. Now, you are aware of what's going on around you, yes. But you keep the things that are going on around you in the right perspective. And this is why we spend time praying. This is why we spend time with other people that know how to walk with God as well, because they encourage you. So, but you have to be right now, here, in Christ, grounded, focused on the spot that you're in to begin with. Okay, so that is where you are. Now, when we talk about vision, when we talk about mission, the vision that you're looking forward to, that is something that God puts in your heart and says, this is something I want you to go towards. So that, this is what you want to get to. That's where you're trying to go. Okay? Now, for the joy set before him, Jesus wanted to go from here to here. Now, theoretically, if you said, okay, I want to go from here to here, I want to go from here to the door, the easiest thing would be to go in a straight line. Right?
Okay.
Does life work like that? Does life work like that? No, it does not. No, it does not. In fact, if you try to go from here to here, what will happen? You'll have ups and downs and turning arounds and everything. Okay. So, yeah, in Sri Lanka, yes. So you'll have mountains, you'll have lakes, you'll have what? You'll have desert periods, you'll have a big wasteland over here. Okay. So if you want to go from here to here, it's not going to work like that. So the vision that God gives you is something that He puts in front of you. But the path that God has to take you on is going to be not a straight line most of the times. He makes straight your way, but we walk through a crooked world in so many situations. Okay. Now, one thing about the vision that God gives you is that it will always be Christ-centered. It will be Christ-centered. Do you remember when Peter? Yeah. Do you remember when Peter got out of the fishing boat and Jesus was walking on the water? Peter says to Jesus, "If it's you, let me come and join you." Now, Peter gets out of the boat. No problem walking towards Jesus. When does he have a problem? When does the problem
happen?
The problem happens when his eyes go where? When his eyes go, not necessarily looking around, but when they go off of Jesus. Because what happens is that when your eyes go off of Jesus, now they're no longer focused on where the vision was started from in the first place. And what happens to him when his eyes go off of Jesus? He starts to sink. And that's what will happen to all of us when our eyes go off of Christ. Whatever the vision is that God has given you, you will begin to sink at that point. Now, how many times have you been in the middle of something and you have felt like you're starting to sink? In those times where you start to feel like you're sinking, also ask yourself in those times, where have your eyes been? Where have you been looking to? Because here's something, it's human nature to look on the outside. It's human nature to look on the outside. That's human nature. That's part of the fallen man, to look on a temporal level. Man looks at the what? Outward appearance. God looks at the what? The heart. So man looks at everything around him and on the outside. But God looks at what's within. So now, to get to here, it's not a straight line. In the end, if you want to get to here, you'll end up having to go like this, and like that, and like that. Okay. It's going to be a journey that is going to take you in different directions. It's going to be a journey that is not what you necessarily anticipated. And in the twists and the turns, you also have to always remember that God is in control. Okay, here's a question. Why does God allow us to get into difficult places? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder why this, our loving God, our loving Father, will allow us to get into difficult situations as we're doing exactly what He told us to? Yeah. To show us that He's in control of every problem. He allows us to get into these things because in these processes, He's able to show us that He is in control. That everything is dependent on Him and not on man. You know, look at if you look at
He never let us fall.
Yeah. So he shows us He allows us to go down a path that is difficult. So He'll put a vision in your heart, and in putting a vision in your heart, He's then going to allow you to go down a difficult, hard road. But in that road, He is there. In that road, His Spirit is close. And in that road, He is refining you the same way that He refines silver and gold. He refines His people to make them meet for the Master's use. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, how many times have you been in the situation where you're like, I cannot go any further? Lord, what is going on? So many, many times, if you are a servant of God, you will come to that situation where you will say, I can't go any further. I can't walk another step. I am too tired. I am too exhausted. I am too frustrated. But the main thing in that point is when you get to that point, and if it will always come, is that you keep your eyes on Christ. And you remember His word to you. You know, I very, very often I always have to go back to the scriptures, because I shouldn't say go back, because we're always taking the scriptures with us into everything we do. But I have to bring the scriptures into the situations I'm dealing with, because that's our life. And so, you know, one thing is, God says, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to Him, right? He says this to be anxious about nothing. So that means, that literally means, He also says, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. So you have a responsibility to not carry certain things, but to give them to Him. You weren't meant to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You were meant to do exactly what the Spirit of God leads you to do. But God puts us through these different things so that they can allow to train us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to shape us. Now they told me 11 o'clock, so what we'll do is we'll stop for the quick tea, and when we come back we're going to talk about mission, and we're going to talk about writing the vision and making it plain. So we're establishing the initial foundation now. Let's have a quick cup of tea, and then we'll come back. I think we have 15. So a little bit of a recap. One is the vision God gives you. It's not limited. It is God-given. And it is going to be Christ-centered. You know, sometimes what happens is sometimes people wonder, did God give me this? Did I get this from somewhere else? You can usually, if you put the filter of the scripture and the Spirit of God over something, you can tell if it came from you or if it came from Him. You know, there's some people I know that they have certain desires to be famous or to have wealth or to have certain things, and they want to do it for God, is what they say. But it's not for God, it's for themselves. But they just want to put God's label on it so that they can justify it. You know, a lot of people will do that. A lot of people will try to use God's name to justify their own personal vision. But this is where we have to be honest, because God sees, He knows where you're coming from. Okay. Now, when we talk about mission, what was Jesus' mission? So when we get to mission, what is Jesus' mission?
I'm
asking the question. What was Jesus' mission?
Vision
was what he was looking towards.
Go and make disciples.
No, that was his instruction. That was what he gave to the disciples. What was Jesus' personal mission? He talks about it in Scripture. I'll give you a hint. It's in the book of Luke. It's in the first half of the book of Luke. It's in the first five chapters. It's in the fourth chapter of Luke. Okay. Now Jesus talks about a few different times some components of his mission, but here's one set of it. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay. Now, mission is going to be what helps you get to your vision. So, ultimately, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning the shame. So the joy set before him was eternity with us. So that was his vision. That was what he was looking forward to. But mission is going to be the practical things that you are doing day in and day out that help you get to that vision. Now here's an important point. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me
for
to do the mission. So on one side, the Spirit of the Lord gives you the vision, and then He also empowers you for the mission. We use the examples of Moses and Paul early on. Do you notice the difference between what happened to Moses and to Paul before the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and after the Spirit of the Lord came upon them? Before the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were a certain kind of person. After, they were different. The same with us. Before the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we're a certain kind of person. After the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, we're different. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you for, and He gives you the vision, and then He empowers you for the mission. Okay. Go to keep your finger in Luke, but go to Acts chapter 1. And verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon people and He empowers them to be a witness. Now that word witness in the Greek is the same word that is the word martus. It's the same word we get the word martyr from. So the same word for witness is the same word as martyr.
Martyr,
somebody that's willing to die. Martyr. Martyr. So the same word that we get the word witness from in the Greek is the same word that we get the word martyr. So somebody that will die for something.
Martyr.
Martyr. Martyr. Martyr. Martyr. Sorry, my. So literally that means to be able to put to death. So the power, so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon in order to empower you to be able to put to death everything that keeps you from being able to do what God has for you to do. So Jesus, back in Luke chapter 4, when He made it a point to show in His own life the difference between what it was like when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him. And what happened with Him? Now, notice how Jesus gets His mission from Scripture. You know, Jesus could have come up with a mission from anywhere. He could have sat down and said, "Okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." But when He was outlining, "Here's the reason I'm here, here's what I'm going to be doing, this is my mission," where did it come from? What did Jesus say when He said, I only speak what I hear my Father speaking, right? I only do what I see the Father doing. So for us, we speak the words that he has for us to speak, and we get the mission from him. Now, have you noticed how you will be doing something and you'll read the word and God will speak to you out of the word? You'll be in the middle of a very difficult struggle, and then just in the middle of that, God, you'll open the scriptures, you'll start reading, and the words will jump out from the page at you. There's a reason for that. It's because God's Spirit that lives in you, and deep calling out to deep, the deep things in the scriptures resonates with the deep things in you. Okay. So Jesus, when he's outlaying this one here, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So the Spirit of God comes upon us for a purpose. Now we know from Acts chapter 1 that it comes upon us and enables us to put to death anything in our lives that keeps us from being what God has for us to be. So any kind of bondage, any kind of sin, any kind of hindrance, anything that is blocking you from being what God wants you to be, that can be put to death by the power of the Spirit of God. And then God can flow through your unique gifts, skills, talents, and abilities. Do you know that you are uniquely designed? You are made unique. You're special. That means that there's a way that God has designed to flow through your life that is special just for you. That's why everybody looks different. You know, now I've heard now that there's 7 billion people in the world now. There's not 6, it's 7 billion. 1,000 million. So there's 7 billion people in the world, and everybody looks different. There's not one fingerprint the same as anybody else's. Everyone has a different fingerprint. You would think with something this small, after 7 billion, you'd run out of patterns. Just take this finger like this. This finger, you would think you couldn't make 7 billion different ways to put the lines on this finger. You would think that would be the case, but the truth is, everyone has a unique fingerprint. Isn't that incredible? Now, God has given a mission for you as well. Now, here's where you have to be mindful. God will have a mission for you and your life, vision for you and your life, but he'll also have something for the organization that you're part of. And this is where you have a personal responsibility to find out, is the vision and the mission that God has for me personally, are they in line with the vision and the mission that God has for this organization that I'm part of? Because what does Amos 3:3 say? What does Amos 3:3 say? How can two walk together, lest they be agreed? Right? How can two walk together unless they're agreed? So, if the vision for your organization is going this way, and you're trying to go this way, this will be going here, you'll be going there, and you'll both be pulling in different directions. Okay. So, that being the case, that is one reason why it is good for you to write the vision and make it plain. Because when you write the vision, if somebody else wants to join you in that vision, they know where you're going. See, if you don't know where you're going, and they don't know where they're going, and you both get together, then you spend a lot of time trying to figure out where are we going. See, what you get when you have a vision is a vision communicates very clearly, here is where we want to go. And from that place of here's where we want to go, then other people that want to join you in that vision, they know this is where you're going. Now there are organizations that have very bad visions, but a lot of people join them because they agree maybe with the vision. There are organizations in this world that are dedicated to the death and destruction of other people. There are organizations that their vision is to see the entire elimination of a racial group or ethnic group. But that's the reason they exist, is to see people from a particular ethnic group not even here anymore. And people join them because they know what that's their vision, and they agree with that vision, and they want to become part of that. But then there's also those that are servants of righteousness, servants of truth, servants of light, that God puts a vision in their heart, and others say this is where they're going, and they know it, and they join it, and they become part of it. So I want to take a little time, and I want to give all of us a chance, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to write the vision. What is the vision that God has put in your heart for your home? I want you to do two. I want you to do one side of the paper. I want you to write the vision for the home that you're part of. And then the other side, I want to write the vision that God has put in you for your life. You as an individual. What has God spoken to you about what your life is supposed to be and where it is that He wants you to go with it?
That means the first vision would be the home vision, right?
Yeah.
The vision that you are going to accept acceptance within your home.
If you're struggling to do one, do the other first. But just write at the top, either if it's for your home or if it's for you. Your pen? There's one there. Who else has? Okay, good. Now, the vision is, what are you aiming towards? What is it that God has put in your heart to go towards? What is it that you, where is it that you see the efforts that and the direction that you're supposed to be pointing towards? What would that look like in the end? Okay. So do it. Start, since you're here on behalf of your home first, do it on behalf of your home first.
Home?
Yeah, do it on behalf of your home first. The home that you work for, what is the vision that you see of that home? Okay. I'm going to give you about 7 minutes to think about that, to work on that, and then we'll do the other one. Yeah, because sometimes what God, the vision that He has, the fulfillment of that, is different than what people thought or think it should be. For example, people thought that the Savior that would come into the world, that He would be this conquering king. That was everyone's expectation. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for this conquering king. But Jesus said some very peculiar things. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when Jesus set up His kingdom, He didn't set up a kingdom the way they thought He would. He set up a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom is where? The kingdom is within. So it's not limited by the borders of man. It's not limited by man's ability to make something happen. It's a spiritual kingdom. So in the end, when Jesus established a spiritual kingdom, it wasn't what people thought it would be, but it was the fulfillment of the vision that God had given people to expect. And this is why, if God gives you a vision, don't try to figure it out completely, because He'll have twists and turns in what that is in the end. So, I mean, you can go through scriptures time and time and time again. The fulfillment of the vision was not what people thought it would be. But it's only those with spiritual eyes that can see things in the realm of the Spirit that will understand this is the fulfillment of the vision and of God. So when Jesus was as a baby taken into the temple, and you remember the two prophets that came, that were there, and they were waiting. One of them said, "I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to die because I've seen the fulfillment of what it is that God has spoken."
Jesus
The main thing is that the vision, that you know it's come from Him and not yourself. It's not come from the world, it's not come from outside influence, it's come from Him. Now, both of you did, I thought you were doing something specific which was good, which is when you're writing the vision for an organization, you should do it together. Because it's a shared vision. You're all going in that same direction. But when it's your life, it's the life that God has given you and your life combined with Him. And in that situation, that's when you need to know for yourself, this is where God has spoken to me. Now, something interesting for me is, like I said at the start, what it is that I do is in line with the vision God gave me, although it's not what I thought it would be, if that makes any sense. You will do and you will fulfill God's vision for your life, but it may not be the way that you think it is. Okay, let's go through some of these. I'd like to go through the ones for the homes first. Can we read them to each other? Sure. Vision for your home. Setting the vision, again, you're taking the time to stop, to raise up, to elevate, so that you can see far. You know, why is it so often that in order to give people a vision, God would take them onto a mountaintop? You know, why would He do that? He could do that anyway. Yeah. But Jesus, how many times was He taking somebody onto a mountain to give them a vision? You know, one thing with Scripture is many, many times God would do something in the natural to give people an example of a spiritual reality. So Jesus, in order to show people a vision, He would take them up onto a mountain. And God wants you, when He gives you a vision, He wants you to stop and go higher. Focus and let Him show and reveal. But the mission that you will do, that is going to be the things that you do day in and day out to achieve and to reach the vision. So, for example, that mission that you just shared, and this is a learning process for everyone, so you know, I hope I can use it as that. But the vision that you shared, that's more of a mission. But what is the vision that you're pointing towards? More along the lines of, say, you know, every child, you know, graduates from university. You see, that's a vision.
It's a vision.
That's something, that's a vision that you're working towards. Because then you can work backwards from here and say, what are the steps you need to do to get to that? Because you can be a great counseling center and you can love them like a mother and you can do some wonderful, wonderful things for them, but where are you taking them? You see what I'm saying? So this is where, and this is the vision that God has to put in your heart. And you have to capture that vision, write that vision, make it plain. Because see, for example, if you told me the vision for your home was that every child that's in your home, the vision is that they would graduate university in this country and that they would have a good opportunity for themselves going forward. If you told me that that was the vision for your home, I, as somebody that's never met your home before, I can, if I understand that's your vision, if I think there's something I can do to help you with that vision, I can then say, here's what I can do to try to help you with the vision. Do you understand? Because if you tell me that the vision is to be a mother to them, and I see you doing that, I say, well, the vision is fulfilled. So this is again too. Now a vision is very much, it is like, it is probably like a childbirth process in a way, because it's something that will go within and it will stir in you for a long time before it comes out. It's something that will grow inside of you. And you will struggle with it, you will wrestle with it. It might make you sick. So that it can. You remember Daniel when he had certain visions that came from God? They literally made him ill. He got sick to his, he was sometimes sick for weeks. Because it's tough sometimes, the things that we see and that we know, and this is what needs to be done. Okay. So that's a good mission, but let's keep working on that vision. Let's hear another one, please.
எதிர்காலத்தில் சமுதாயத்திலும் எல்லா ஜனங்களும் நல்ல பிரதியாக
Okay.
எல்லா துறைகளும் தேவைய நாமத்தை தூசிக்கப்படாம மற்றவர்களுக்கு ஆசீர்வாதமாகவும் சாட்சியாகவும்
நாம்
தூசிக்கப்படாம
சாட்சியுள்ளவர்களாக
When I hear it, I hear a combination of things.
I hear
the vision and the mission combined with some good activities too. No, and this is what I want you to understand. This is a process. What we're discussing here is something. It's a process that takes some time, and you have to wrestle with it. So one of the things you have to wrestle with is now to raise these children up to be good citizens in society. That sounds much more like a vision.
Yeah.
That sounds more to me like a vision for this home. But now if you go with the very next one that you had, the next one. Skills and talents, no? Yeah, that is something. If you did that second one, that would help them to become good citizens, right? So with the things you've written, you might need to separate them and make one of them is your vision, but the other is the missions and the things that you're doing to help get to that. So if you can do that, see, one thing that happens when you see the vision, once you've written the vision and made it plain, then you work backwards. You say, if we are going to help these children to become good citizens in society, well, here's the things that we need to do to help them to get there. See, then, now you know, here's where we're trying to take them. Now you know, we need to do this, 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 and this in order for them to get there. Because you can show them God's love, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and praise God for that. But if you're not helping them to develop their skills, then they... You understand? So one thing is, what happens is, the vision is something at the big top level. It's like 40,000 feet. But then in order to be able to take the vision and to make it plain, you have to then break the vision down into steps towards getting to that vision. Now God has a way of twisting and turning things, yes, of course. But He also has given you a brain. He's also given you skills and talents and abilities. Now Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct your path. You know, trust not in your own understanding. So don't put your trust in your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord, He'll direct your path. But you are supposed to use your own understanding. Just don't put your faith in your natural abilities. Always trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, what happens is when you look at it at the 40,000 feet, this is the big thing. Then you, and your team says, this is a vision that we agree with. This is a vision we want to go to. Then you need to break that down into pieces and say, if we are going to help to get towards this vision, here are the pieces that we need to do to be able to get there. So, in the next, how old are the children right now? 13, and they're going to be 18, 5 years. So you have 5 years from now till the time that they're 18 to accomplish your vision. So my question is, what are the things that need to happen between now and the next 5 years in order for them to be able to achieve that vision? Yeah, those are the things you start asking. Because then you say, because if, you know, you may need to get them a chance to be exposed to working somewhere. You may need to, for sure, with their schooling. You have to look at their school of how much education can they get. And not just their education, but the quality of their education. You need to, if you want them to help, for them to be as far as, I'm just saying this is your vision, I'm not interjecting, but I'm saying if you were to say something like that, I would say also, okay, they need to probably learn how to save. And how to, and how to manage their finances. Because it doesn't do them much good if every time they get a job, if everything they get they spend, and they're always, they don't never learn that. They need to learn how to manage their own affairs. See, so what you do is you start saying, okay, in order for somebody to be able to fulfill that vision, you know what?
They want some example because they identify their talents and they encourage them doing that.
Yeah.
Then they become some sort of level. So that thing they convince.
Yeah.
So that they keep on going like that.
Yeah, see, one thing you do is you say, okay, if the goal there was a model citizen, then you would need to say, what does a model citizen look like now, 5 years before? And you would have to say, what does that person look like in 5 years, and what is it that they need to learn today to make them that? Because it won't just happen. See, this is again why God, back to what God does with us. This is why God does what He does with us, because He has knows the vision He has for our lives.
A perfect
bride without spot or wrinkle. That is what God wants to make out of us. Right?
Yeah.
So He's making us daily being conformed into the image and the likeness of the Son of God. Right? So that's what He's doing with us. So what does He do? He allows for all of these different experiences for us to go through to transform us, back to the question we asked earlier, to transform us into His image and into His likeness. Now, yes, when we step into Christ, we become a new creation from that moment, yes. But then what God starts to do with us is He starts to mold us and to shape us. To make something out of us that we never thought possible. Okay. So I would say with your one, my suggestion is separate them out, difference between the vision and the mission. And use the scriptures. Use the scriptures that we reference to help you, and ask yourself, you know, what does this sound like? Okay, let's keep moving, please. Again, I think some sounds very strongly like a mission, which is what you're doing on the daily. And back to, again, this is why visioning is a difficult thing, because you have to quiet yourself before God, and God has to show and reveal that to you. The thing I can tell from what you've all written so far is that you're all very busy people. Very busy people. And you know what happens when you get very busy is, have you ever heard that statement, you can't see the forest in spite of the trees? You can't see the forest because the trees are there. You're so close, the trees right here, you can't see the big forest, because in order to see the big forest you have to back up. And the thing I see with the statements that have been read here is that that for yourself, you're all very busy people. And something, this is a word of advice, since we're running, we only have about 10 minutes left. I would suggest for you to try to take 2-3 days. I know it's difficult with what you do, but then plan it. You may have to plan it a month in advance, but take 2 or 3 days just to break away from everything and everyone, and to get away and to spend some time before God and pray. Because a vision is something that God will give you, But it comes from a different, it's not the day-to-day thing that you're dealing with. When Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel, that was a vision for the future. Did that happen overnight? No. Yeah. It was something that God had set a destiny for David's life. But there was a series of things that David had to go through, keeping his heart right before God, to reach and achieve that vision. And likewise with you, you know, that you're going through so many things daily. But you have to be able to stop and say, this is where I see God taking me. David knew where God was taking him. You need to know where God is taking your home, and you need to know where God is also taking you. Now, why do I say that second part? Because that's very important. Because sometimes other people's visions can become imparted to you, but they're not necessarily God's plan or purpose for you. I see this many, many times with ministries. The father will build a church, and the son will grow up in that church. And the assumption is that the son is going to now take over the church when the father moves on. Now, that's fine if that's God's plan. But there's many times that that's not God's plan. And there's many times that God may want that son, travel the world, I want you to do different things, I want you to... Because who is Lord in this situation? Is the son listening to the voice of God, or is he listening to the voice of his dad? Now, you're supposed to honor your father and your mother, but you're also supposed to do what it is that God has instructed for you to do. So, this is why it's important that you know the vision that God has for your life. Because then when the opportunities of life come your way, you can know, do they line up with the vision that God has given for you. You need to teach that to your children. You need to help the children understand God's vision for their life. So that as they get older and the opportunities of life start coming to them, they can stay on the right course because they know what God's called them. Okay, a couple more, please.
சபைக்கு
Children to be grown up in the God's love, and they are encouraging for us to serve God in the future. He's not a church, a tiny church. There are some crisis in the church. It's good of that they are.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. And one more.
Yeah. See them become strong Christians, because I know when it comes to adulthood, it's really hard. And see them become, and the other one, vision is to see them to be better than their parents, because most of their parents, they do divorce and they are doing that, you know. And see them become their parents, and see them doing better whatever jobs they do. And that's our vision, to see them doing better. And our mission is to work.
So a strong spiritual foundation, solid families, and what was the third one? And gainfully employed. Okay. So, okay. So, I mean, I would stay away from saying something like better than their parents, because that puts enmity between them and where their parents came from. So language is important. You have to think about that when you communicate these things. But if your vision is to for the children that come through your home, to when they finish and they're about to graduate from your home, to have a strong spiritual foundation, to have the right to have a solid family home life, and to have the skills to be gainfully employed, that's something, you know, admirable that you can push towards as a home. So that's a vision for a home. And with a vision like that for a home, if anybody else was to meet that home and know that vision, they would know, here's how we can help with this to help accomplish that. So if I'm a business and he tells me that one of the goals, one of the part of the vision for that home is to help children be gainfully employed, if there's something I as a business can do to help them with that, I can communicate and I can become part of that vision. Likewise, if there's something that I can, that I also know too, this is where you have to say, okay, what that vision has three major components. What are the things that need to happen? Break it down into pieces now. What are the things that need to happen in order for those three to come to pass? And if you can go through those, if you can spend time wrestling with those, then the steps will come and God will also reveal and bring the people to help you with the vision. Okay, so our time is up. It is time.